Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good afternoon, fellow top of the league fans.
We are top of the league fans, aren't we?
We are top of the league. Although it doesn't feel quite jubilant, but the fact remains, Josef and Yadam.
Hello, Yeevan.
We are top of the league.
We've got that game in hand type hangover feel to it, because City can go above us, we all know this. But we are top of the league.
Game in hand is worth nothing.
Yeah.
What's that saying?
A point in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
A bird in the
hand is worth
two in the
bush. They ain't in the bush
yet, are they? No, we're in the bush. We are in the bush. 37 points.
Love being in the bush.
They're 35 points, but they're in the hand.
They've got
no way. No, we're in the hand. They're in the bush.
We've got it
the
other way around.
They're in the bush. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Who's on the motorway?
I don't know. Liverpool. So yeah,
no, because
a point in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Yeah, so they're in the hand.
No, they're in the bush.
They're in the hand because they've only got...
No.
It's worth more when they get in the bush.
And where are we?
That's not what that means.
And what's the weather? Is it sunny or is it raining?
I don't know.
It's hot and wet.
Anyway, United are top of the league. That's all that matters. Don't worry about bushes and cities and all that.
It's
United are top of the league.
It's moist in a bush.
We're still top of the league. We drew with Liverpool. I've never even spoken to you about the game properly. We've hardly even chatted about it. Went upstairs yesterday, drank a rum and that, and then went home. What do you think to the game yesterday? Are you happy with the way United turned up? We'll go through some of the players in a little bit.
I would say I'm content with the result, because I think happiness is such a... People go with binary things on happiness, don't they? I'm happy or I'm not happy. And I think there's shades to this. And I would say I'm content with the result. I'm happy to take the result. I'm not delighted we got a draw at Anfield, especially in the circumstances where there was an opportunity to take all 3 points. I feel like we missed that opportunity. But I think not losing is quite important still.
Does it feel like we still have a good chance of, if we did ever have a chance of winning the league, that not just the result, because obviously a point neither here nor there almost in terms of winning you or losing the league, but the way United looked against Liverpool, did that feel like...
It made
like
me more confident.
More or less confident.
Not about winning the league, about challenging for the league, because it still feels like a false challenge, doesn't it? Like,
I don't think we're on their level. I don't think we're on City's
level. No. That's
that doesn't mean
saying
that we couldn't be successful in that, because very often, I mean, you see it in the Champions League very often, actually, that the best team in Europe doesn't always win. You know, it's a team that's able to put together a consistent run of performances in, you know, in a cup competition. The league usually doesn't lie, though. And if you win the league, you have been the best team in the country over, you know, that particular 38 games. And I don't think we are the best team in the country. And I think if you'd have even tried to tell someone we were the best team in the country game week one, they'd have laughed in your face. I mean, I had United coming second on the back of if we got Sancho and the other signings. And I was thinking of, you know, probably another midfielder. And the people that laughed at us for even suggesting
that first
thing. Yeah, I think they were right to laugh at you. But the way people reacted to that was hilarious. Now, I still think there's a massive drop-off coming with United. I think that we had the longest season last season because we had like an extra month of games when a lot of people was off. People started pre-season before us. I think there's a bounce back from that somewhere that we're not seeing coming, and I hope this is why you ain't seen much of Telles and Van der Beek, and I'm thinking maybe longer down the line they will take over and start playing some more games, but it's a hunch, not a...
Do you think some of that backlash, though, was maybe the performances toward the end of the season against Sevilla, those sorts of games, and then the performances at the start of the season, Brighton in the league, I know we ended up getting the points there, but it was a shocking performance. Crystal Palace, obviously, we got battered. Tottenham, we got battered. Do you not think that some of that backlash from an extended season, a longer year, we've actually already seen a bit of it?
Also, as well, if you look at our year, is that table since Bruno come in where we're top of the league and all that? The three games that we lost are all this season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's all come up like in this season, which we're top of the league.
The no pre-season. I'm putting that down to that.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think when we lost against Spurs, I was reluctant to come out and be overly angry or overly upset because, one, we went down to 10 men and no pre-season is so important and can get showed up even more when you were playing against a Spurs side that had been in the Europa League for 2 months.
And I know people will say... Oh, no pre-season doesn't mean that you forget to mark people.
It does.
And I don't think it does, but like it can lead to have knock-on effects.
Also, knock-on effects on concentration.
It's
what people call,
it was in like the first 20 minutes.
But it's rustiness and concentration of like, I'm not used to having to look at that, then look at that, then look at that, then speak to him, then hear this. But like all of those things, when a player comes back from injury, let's say, that's usually described as rustiness. And they were essentially doing that thing, weren't they, where
maybe,
you're going straight from not playing at all to matters as much as the last game of the season.
Even at the moment.
They've had no pre-season.
Bruno and Rashford's decision-making keeps getting brought up. That's down to fatigue, bro. Like you, mentally, you can be fatigued. Physically, if your legs are gone and you're running after a ball, like, let's use Rashford going through and Cavani. And I do think the situation changed very quickly, like the way you explained it on my channel, is like the pass to Cavani was only there for a very split second.
Yeah.
Once that had gone in, he had gone offside. There's no point passing it. But like, if you're tired running through there and you're thinking all these things and you're trying to hold on to your run, you got men coming, it's easy to make the wrong decision when you are fatigued. When you're fresher and you're feeling more confident, you're going to be able to do better things. So it was a frustrating one yesterday, but I get it as well. Like, decision-making is going to be affected by tiredness or lack of pre-season, which we saw earlier in the season. Yeah. Less excuses for it yesterday, but I understood it.
Do you know something mad as well? If Everton win their game in hand, they go above Liverpool in the league.
Liverpool potentially
Liverpool
fifth.
Can be down to fifth.
Like, if we'd have beat them,
we can have
they could have
weeks.
Put them down to sixth.
Yeah, we can have two bad weeks and be out of the Champions League spots, let alone top.
Yeah, this
so
is
you
the
have
thing
to bear
is,
that all in mind.
This is the nightmare of this season, is we might be top now, but you lose two games back to back and you might be like, oh, I remember when we were in the top four.
So are we still fighting for top 40?
I think we can we should be able to get the league table on the screen in just a few minutes.
I do think we're still fighting for top four. And I think what, I just said this in my preview that I've just recorded now for Fulham, United need to hang in as long as we can, because teams are going to drop off. Everton, potentially. Leicester, potentially. Liverpool, potentially. Like Spurs, potentially. Every one of those teams in the top six at the moment are not going to finish within 3 points of each other on game week 38. They're not.
No.
Right, and if they do, I'll be well shocked. And what a fucking mad running that's going to be. And Sky will just be like a river of cum, right? But I do think, and this is the perfect time for the read, I do think that if we've got... if we've got the ability to just hang in there and hold on as much as we can in that pack, people will drop, whether that's Leicester, whether that's Spurs, whether that's Everton, whoever it is,
you presume,
will start to drop off a little bit, and then it becomes a title race. Mm. At the moment, there's too big of a pack, there's too long to go, there's too many laps left. Like, it's nice to be here, and I'd always rather be here than where Arsenal are. I mean, that's usually a good place to be in life. But I would say far too early to think anything about this yet. There's a lot of football to be played, and literally two games. We could go on a skid for two games, not a problem. Two games, and you might find yourself way off the pack.
One of the things that I wanted to say about yesterday as well was, I agree with what you said there, and I know it's so fragile at the moment. I think our team's confidence is very, very fragile, and you can see it. But I also think our position in the table is very fragile.
It's almost like we didn't believe that we could beat them yesterday.
But yesterday it made me more confident that we can challenge and possibly win it. Because I thought the performance from the team yesterday showed that belief. I didn't think we went there and expected. I thought our first half performance was poor, in that our passing was poor. I don't think Ali's tactics were poor. I think we were poor with the ball. Fred McTominay, not great in there. with the ball. But in the second half, we had a better team, in my opinion. And we looked like the team that were going to score if anyone was going to score. And I was gutted to come out of there with just a point in the end. So that game, whilst I agree with what you're saying, and I agree with the fragility of our side and our position in the table, that game left me more confident. And I'm not even looking at Liverpool anymore. If we are to win the league, we have to finish above City. I would have thought a couple of weeks ago, if we finish above Liverpool, we're champions.
Can we talk about that way anymore? Because we say that, and I'm not to try and have a go at you in particular here, but a lot of people are talking as though they're surprised that Manchester City are the team to beat. Let's be honest, Man City have been the team to beat since their owners spent billions on their squad, which is coming up for 10 years now. Like, it's been the case
They've been champions for, since 2012?
Yeah. So, but even in 2011, they were the team you had to beat to win the league. I know it was United, as obviously you would be United, but as a United fan, the team you have to beat is City, certainly in the 2010s. If you finish above City, you've probably won the league. And I don't think that changes just because Liverpool had a really good year last year. For me, City are still the team to beat. They've done this for a decade almost.
No, but that's only changed because of Liverpool's injuries, because of the results.
But they've had a lot of injuries as well.
But that's why... basically, people are very... I was still saying it at the start of the season, watch out for City, because they had so many games in hand.
I literally had them winning the league at the start of the season.
But I mean, you still had to bear them in that.
Never predict it.
Keep them in mind...
because Mark Lawrenson at the BBC did 70 weeks in a row of not picking Liverpool to lose.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
You're like, well, I'm not picking them to lose, am I?
It's true though. You should never. No. I think for the 8 years we've been on here, I've never predicted a defeat
once.
I think we'll lose this, but when you're like, what's your score prediction? 2-0 win. Like, we're going to lose this game. You won't give a score prediction that involves us losing, but you'll say you think we're going to lose.
Because it's just wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, it don't feel right.
It's like when you're a kid, your dad asks you, "How much are you going to win?"
Do you know what else is
7-0,
wrong?
7-0, Dad, every game. Hey,
do you know what else is wrong? Hairy nuts.
Oh, it is. There's nothing worse. And that's why this show is brought to you by Manscaped.
Standing on a plug and then hairy nuts.
Those are the two. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm a avid Manscaped user. We've all used Manscaped, haven't we, here? Yeah. Below the belt is as good as it's going to get.
And on my nose.
Due to Manscaped. Yeah, exactly. All sorts. Below the belt, above the belt. I was freshly trimmed not a couple of weeks ago. And the great thing is... done like that.
You make it sound like a third party came in.
No, I didn't. Legs up. No, I'm not. Do you know when you see those like dogs in the little harness at the vets and there's just someone else doing it? I have that sort of treatment. but the great thing is, the Lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof. It charges by... well, it doesn't charge by...
talk about the anti-nick technology, Joe.
You let me get to it.
Okay.
Do you know there's a special area on a body?
La Gooch. That is...
it's La Gooch, it's Le Bourbage, Le Bourbagio, and it's very full of nooks and crannies and crevices and creases.
You're not wrong.
Nuts and cranberries.
I know this isn't an advert for any sort of anti-wrinkle
slogan
cream.
Slogan's just said, are we really doing this?
If you really believed in anti-wrinkle cream, you would be lining ball bags up and slapping it on there look at that. Because if you could prove it on a ball bag... we're all buying it.
But here's the thing. You don't need anti-wrinkle cream because the Lawnmower 3.0 sees those wrinkles and it accepts them for what they are. It glides over them. No nicks, no scuffs, no picks, tears and twists. It just glides straight over a hairless experience for... it's not just hairless. That's a great thing. Sliding scale. If you like it this long, you like it this long, you like it that long.
Now you got...
What do you like?
Clean it up.
Do you?
You ever though... you know, when you're on the balls, before my days with Manscaped.
Yeah, yeah.
When you think you haven't nicked it.
You have.
And it takes about a minute until you see blood.
The blood seeps through. And you've got little bits of tissue on it, like the first time you shave your chin. No one wants that. Use the code DEVILS20 for free shipping and 20% off at manscaped.com. Again, there's the perfect package 3.0, and this has got all sorts in it. Now, I've used this. We've got the ball toner. We've got the crop reviver. Now, these, you get out of the shower... you put a little bit of deodorant on. You put a little bit of moisturiser on, perhaps if you're a man of the world. But now you put a little bit of moisture on the old boys. Keep them smelling nice. Keep them wrinkle, crease and crack free. No pun intended. And you can also use the little crop reviver as well. A little spray. Then they give you a little... do you know when you see blokes on a date like that?
No, in the mouth.
Jim Carrey spraying it the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly.
Occasionally.
Now you can get those nuts revived as well. Use the code... Devils20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping.
No longer does it smell like King Kong's nest.
No, it smells fantastic.
And we got a few super chats as well. Aman Saxena says, at first I was really sad McCullough wasn't on Paddock for the game yesterday. Then I heard Rory make a daft statement like De Gea isn't one of the best. And I realised we needed McCullough there to defend us. And Usman says, with another super chat, do we think City will walk through their two games in hand against Villa and Everton and get the 6 points? I see upsets in there.
They're two of the bananariest of games you could possibly wish for them, aren't they?
City have got two teams that can win a league.
Two overachieving teams so far.
We're winning the league, you know.
Stop it.
Have you seen their running?
How have they got?
Oh, have they got to play, I don't know, the other 19 teams in the league, have they? Wow, fuck me. That's wild.
Glad we're not them right now, aren't you?
Have you heard?
What?
We're winning the league.
Do you actually think we are? Honestly, do you think we are?
I don't
think. Be honest.
I think there's a chance. I believe it now more than I did when I first said it.
That's a good point.
That's nothing, Joe, because he's fucking
he's
deluded.
He's done you there.
Just because he was like, yeah, I was fully off my tits when I said it. I'm now only a bit less off my tits, but he's still off his tits.
That's a great point.
Bro, I think... Go on. I know there's some deluded people out there that put tweets out there and think that they influence managers and stuff like that.
Oh, right, yeah, that one.
But I genuinely believe my positivity has rubbed off on everybody, including those in the dressing room.
That's illegal.
Harry Maguire. I rubbed off Eric Bailly. I rubbed off Luke Shaw. Rubbed off De Gea. Mm-hmm. Keep counting. They can see counting. Rubbed off all of them. I'm going to rub off Martial soon.
Fucking get a move
rubbed
on
off
that.
Pogba.
Yeah, worked. Well done. You've rubbed off Pogba and he's been ace for about a month.
I've rubbed off Rashford shooting boots.
You should have played
the
zebra kit yesterday, by the way.
Yeah. And he would have scored that.
I love that zebra kit.
No. So, the positivity is rubbing off everybody.
Have you seen the pants?
No.
Well, do you know what the shirt looks like?
Yeah.
But in pants.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well, actually, I'm asking the wrong fucking guy.
Big camo all the way down. Should we talk a bit about, speaking of losing the
You don't want to keep talking about me rubbing off players?
Well, we can talk about something else instead. Because Jurgen Klopp, after the game, he's a right Mardy arse, isn't he? Saying there's nothing worse in football.
Mardy bum.
Nothing worse in football than when world-class players just sit back and try and counter-attack. Sorry, did you not win two Bundesligas by doing that? Like, what's he... We don't do that every single game.
Plays heavy metal football, Joe. You should show them some
respect.
Of
course, heavy metal football, that's a real thing. That's just what you call pressing. Like, it's not. It doesn't exist just because he says it.
It's pressing lots.
Yeah, pressing lots and hard, though.
Like, pressing long and hard, yeah, like when I rubbed off the dressing room.
Like, did you see when Real Madrid played Liverpool in the final of the Champions League and they just sat back and let them win? Like, you do that. You're willing to do that when it's the right circumstance for you. It's hard to beat Liverpool by outplaying them and by outpressing them because they're a good team.
Your team's very confident in its own abilities. You've won the league. You got a crazy number of points without winning the league the previous season. You've not lost at home in fucking ages.
68 games.
It's a long time, right? Of course, you're going to fucking play them on a counter. Like we said, United's green shoots of confidence in the United team.
Nice.
But it's not bowl up, dicks out, let's have it, is it? We're not there yet.
No,
this isn't the 2008-2009 team that'd go anywhere and be like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And not always win, by the way.
No. And sometimes you would think, I wish we'd have played a bit more defensively there.
And he's talking like we Mourinho did. But we did not. We did not lose that
money. And Spurs and Arsenal were like the favourites. But Spurs won it. Is that us this year?
What, we're Leicester? I hope so. I don't mind being Leicester for once.
Do you know what that means, don't you?
I'd rather be Leicester and win the league than fucking Tottenham and not win it.
Yeah, and come third in the 2 hours.
Yeah. Exactly. What does that mean?
We're going to win the league.
We're going to win the league.
Yeah. Got some super chats again.
Go ahead.
Al Lenaker, hopefully not the brother of Wayne, says, why does Lindelof continue to get played over Bailly? Do you think Ollie showed his cards there in saying, this is my strongest centre-half pairing, or at least what he thinks is his strongest? Well, or
you missed the old convo. I mean, you probably had it on the kickoff light, but we were saying what he's done here by picking Lindelof and then coming out and saying, oh yeah, Bailly's fit. I just picked him. Fucking hell, if this don't go right, you've just written everyone's headlines for him and all the tweets. Like, that was a ballsy, ballsy call, because if Lindelof hadn't have had a possible man of the match performance yesterday, like he did, you'd have been in right in the shit.
Even if he'd have just had a decent performance where normally you wouldn't mention him.
Or even if he had a good performance and we lost.
Yeah, or a decent performance, a good performance, and he just made one silly pass that went out for a throw-in. That would be it, wouldn't it? He had to do everything
right.
And he did. And in a way, and Lindelof knows it as well, he's putting pressure on Lindelof as much as he is on himself. And I wonder if he thinks maybe that's what he needs a
do
little
you
bit.
Think
maybe he's trying to play them off against each other to raise everyone.
Like he's done them off against each other.
But next one is Maguire. Take a fucking seat. Bailey, Lindelof. Crack on, lads. You better fucking step your game up, big one.
Well, I think Maguire has, though.
I think Maguire has as well. I think Maguire was excellent again.
This is the
He wants more.
He
wants to rub him off more.
He's done that with De Gea and Henderson. And I think De Gea's been certainly much improved over last season. He's done it with Cavani and Martial to slightly lesser extent, but we've still got a bit of an option up front. And, Stephen, he's done it by bringing in Alex Telles on that left-hand side. And I would say we've seen a much improved Luke Shaw in recent
Now, while
weeks.
You let his head just let that settle
marinate
in his head,
a little bit.
Zimmer 1984 says Man United are the best team in the league.
Yep.
But City are the favourites because they started, allegedly, this is all allegedly, it's a super chat, I've got to read it out. Because they started their two-year PED programme mid-December after a year off. Allegedly.
In completely unrelated
Oliver
news,
Smith.
Totally unrelated news, they have made inhalers and TUEs for asthma an exemption by VADA as well now, illegal. So,
that's illegal?
That's just totally unrelated. To
what, they've made it illegal now?
Yeah.
That's so good. So we're going to win the league.
A lot of teams that were maybe using inhalers and saying that their players had asthma can no longer do that, is what you're saying?
Supposedly, yes.
Okay. Correct, Amundo. We're winning the league. Oliver Smith says... well, this is for me. If it came to the last day of the season and United can win the league, what would you do on Stretford Paddock or the kickoff? Well, I've already had this conversation with Bri when he offered me the opportunity, and I said, if there's ever a trophy on the line, I have to be there.
Where?
At the ground.
So we'll be at the kickoff.
No, I'll be here.
They're
not going to cover United winning the trophy. They hate us, bro. They hate us. We ruined all their childhoods. I will be here.
Let's move back.
We've got another one.
Oh, go on, sorry.
Peter Kelly. We've got a few, so you're going to have to wait with me here. Yep. Positive yesterday was a clean sheet. Also, another game where their forwards didn't score. Affects their confidence massive, really. That's eats into them. We're keeping you that waiting
sheet,
while Steve gets ready to talk about Luke Shaw. Ross Murphy says, if Man United did go on to win the league, should people like Simon Jordan, Craig Burley, and many negative pundits send written apologies to Ollie?
Yes.
No, they won't. But
no,
they
but
should.
I'll go and knock on the door and ask them.
And Morlik Vora says, that was the difference between Jurgen and Ollie's interview. Ollie spoke about United. Jurgen decided to speak about us.
Oh, he spoke about the fucking grass, the weather, fucking humidity and all sorts before.
The grass was too long, we lost. Oh, sorry.
Is he turning
grass?
Into Thai? It was raining!
He's had some mad excuses for why he's lost in the past.
Yes.
And it's been glossed over entirely. It's weird.
Speaking of glossed over.
Well, Fergie, success allows people to overlook those mad things.
Yeah, but he did it before he won out. He had some fucking bizarre shit that he'd gone on.
Sorry, you're going to rattle him.
I'm not trying to rattle him. I'm phrasing this in a nice way.
Right, let me speak then.
Let me ask you first.
Try and rattle him.
Luke Shaw has been much improved this season and certainly in recent weeks. And certainly, surely even you wouldn't doubt, against Liverpool yesterday, Luke Shaw was arguably our man of the match and played excellently and has been generally improved over last season and certainly the year before.
Right. I would say he was man of the match yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
No ifs, buts and maybes. But
we've got him, lads.
But here's... all right, no buts, but you can have a however. So here's a however.
Have a however.
Right?
All right, let's have a however.
I can't say however. It, but have one.
However, the way people have been going on has been like they've been... like I've got no qualms in saying he was man of the match yesterday. And if he continues that sort of performance, I don't have any qualms with him. Mm. My issue is that people are seeing that performance where it wasn't. Where there's objectively poor performances and objectively lazy, which is... this is what annoys me the most about him, is that we saw him really busting a gut at times yesterday, when I've seen him jogging at the halfway line with the ball's in our box, and that's just not fucking acceptable. Now, that's what... the off-the-ball side of stuff is what I think people don't see. And that's what really grinds my gears, because I objectively see it. I see it with my own eyes. I fucking tell everyone that watches it with me upstairs when we're watching the game. It's like, seen this shit? Look at him! Right?
I see.
And then I come on at half time and say what I've just seen, we've all agreed we've seen, and everyone's like, nah, but it's been amazing. It's been world class.
I think there's a tendency with... and I think Luke Shaw falls into this box. Paul Pogba falls into this box. I think Martial falls into this box. That when they do something wrong, people see them more than when other people do something wrong.
Mm.
And you constantly see this. Like, I'll use an example. I was sat next to Rory yesterday. And Paul Pogba was in Liverpool's half, in the first half. and he went to make a diagonal pass, which was just short, but it's a pass that he nails every single time usually. And Paul Pogba went, oh, that's fucking awful. Rory said, yeah, that's awful. You can't be playing that pass from there. What's he doing? He's wasting the ball. But when Bruno tries those, it's not. And I think Luke Shaw kind of falls into that box. He makes mistakes. You point them out sometimes, and it feels like you're digging on him because maybe there's mistakes that have been made by other people that don't get.
Do you know what it mostly is? And this happened exactly the same thing with Ashley Young. Is that I would be quite a very balanced opinion on Ashley Young, and I go, I thought he was a bit of shit today, right? Mm. And someone go, I thought he was our best player. He's like Ballon d'Or worthy, and I'd be like, what?
That's what I've not, because you know what?
People then you have to double down onto your fucking opinion and go, right, now, here's why you're fucking all wrong.
Yeah.
Bosh.
The thing with Luke Shaw, one of his
biggest... And it feels like you're...
Yeah, and now I'm focusing on it.
One of his biggest problems is his positioning, which is so hard to
say... Both fullbacks, by the way.
Yeah, but it's so hard to say, look how poor Luke Shaw's been there. He... But
unless you can,
and you're like, well, someone else would go, well, he wasn't even there. Yeah. And you're like, exactly. You're like, well, that's not Luke Shaw's fault. He wasn't there.
No, it is.
But he's,
and
he's
if you
up
notice
the
a lot of the time, Harry Maguire, Harry Maguire is out of position because of Luke Shaw.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, people, I put my, and this started yesterday before the game, I put my combined 11 up, said, here's my combined 11. Now, I didn't put your combined 11 up, I put fucking mine, right? And in it, I've got Telles, because guess what? I like Telles. I think he's a good player. And people was like...
Oh, over Robertson and Shaw?
I just put 11 United players because combined 11's getting a fucking bin, lad.
Yeah, I was thinking, why have you done a combined 11 first? Okay, that explains it.
Right, so obviously I just did 11 United players.
Yeah.
Telles was my left back. And then people are like, oh, Shaw's better defensively. And I go, no, he's not. Mm. And they go, yeah, but he is, though. And I go, well, he's fucking not, though.
I think he is, but he makes mistakes.
Okay, but he's not. And I went and looked at all the fucking available data.
And this is Twitter.
Not up to opinion.
And that's Twitter. But it is.
But this isn't.
But it's not, though.
This isn't fucking subjective.
But it's not.
Here's the fucking data. Blocks, clearances, dribbled past, and interceptions. Telles is fucking far and away above him. The only thing that Shaw had was tackles, and he was 0.2 higher than Telles per 90. Everything else, Telles absolutely smoked him. And I've never seen Telles fucking jog around when he should be sprinting.
I have noticed on the other side of his game, attacking wise, what's got better for me has been his distribution with the ball. His passes through the lines has been a lot better. And if you look at the opportunity we created for Bruno yesterday, it was down to his running.
Yeah, and what properly. Was good about it as well is, I can't remember if it was Marshall or Rashford who had the ball, but they didn't even look.
Yeah,
they played the pass because they knew Luke Shaw would make that overlap. Last season, they would not make that pass without looking because Luke Shaw never overlapped. Mm. He certainly added that this year. And the fact that he could be looking at the defender and just pass the ball to his left so Luke Shaw can pull it back for Bruno.
They do feel that they're making that move.
Well, but they do. But we never used to do that.
They also look. I know you say they don't look.
That peripheral
what I mean is,
vision.
What I mean is,
there's also no one in the ground, so you could be like, overlap it!
The expectation that Luke Shaw is overlapping you.
Fucking lugging it!
The expectation that Luke Shaw is overlapping is a new expectation, though.
Do you know what? I will say.
Ralph Wiggum,
I put this into one of our. I put this into one of the WhatsApp groups last night. But Luke Shaw, when he empties his pockets when he gets home, so it was like Salah, car keys, phone, and a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Which absolutely Casey fucking did that. Killed me. No, he put. Casey put a fucking Patrice Evra book, but no, there was one.
Sweet packets, wrappers.
Oh, there was a cheeseburger one, which killed me.
But yeah, he's been better though, hasn't he? And if he can play like he did against Liverpool every week.
What he was yesterday was man of the match. Mm. What he's been this season is a bit better than what he was previously, which was objectively not fucking acceptable.
Yeah.
And I still think Telles is a better option than him. Mm. The problem with Luke Shaw is that he would occasionally put in these very good performances, win a man of the match, and then toss it off for a little bit.
And then everyone goes, oh, he's player of the season.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't player of the year when he got player of the year. Marstar Miller with a super chat says United have to play better to win the league. I think performance-wise, we definitely do. But results-wise, we're doing really well. We're grinding results out. Oliver Smith says, would Stretford Paddock FC go into Blood Brothers? What's that?
There's a lot of YouTubers. No, we're a serious football team.
And you know what? If they want to play, they're not going to play Stretford Paddock. They're going to play us again so we can beat them again. Is that them lot?
Yeah, well, there's loads of them that are in it.
Yeah,
on a serious note, Paddock FC is a serious fucking football team.
But I'm not.
Like, you're not... I know that whatever you fucking think of the levels we're playing at, and most of you don't fully understand what the level is that we're playing at. Some of the people in our squad have played top flight football in Holland, in Brazil. Some of them have played for fucking England under 19s. This is like, this isn't a call to arms to say I'll fucking play you and beat you, because we'd like absolutely fuck you, right? Get this out your heads. I'm not playing any of you because there's nothing in it for us.
But what
we'll
will
play
happen,
non-league teams that are in the FA Cup.
But what will happen is we want games. The YouTube channel want games. So
yeah, but even the YouTube channel, you're getting Ronaldo, you're getting Cam, you're getting Will, you're getting fucked.
But they're also getting me, Joe, Andy Tate.
Jay.
We beat Arsenal fan TV with Andy Tate.
Yeah, with Andy Tate up front and Bennett centre-half, who hadn't played in 8 years.
Niall and Kyle Gaming says, will Bruno ever show up in a big game? I think that's a little bit harsh.
It is, considering what has he got. He's got goals against Chelsea, Tottenham. I think he's got assists against City as well.
Is it like every game for United a big
I think the only big games he hasn't got a goal or assist in is Liverpool once, and there's one other team he hasn't got a goal or assist, but all the other
teams
he's got
goals against.
I mean,
you can count the games he didn't get a goal and assist in on one hand.
Exactly.
Sudarshan says, don't know why pundits are saying that City are a shoe-in for the league. This season has been one of the most unpredictable so far. Mm-hmm. And I agree, there's still a lot of injuries
to come
as well.
And those same pundits were saying that Liverpool were a shoe-in for the league about a month ago.
Yeah,
so.
And Tottenham and Chelsea. Yeah. Billy Vaughan, who is a Liverpool fan, comes in with a super chat. So thanks for your support. Mm-hmm. He says, you've done well yesterday. I think the result, it's a result to build on. I think having no fans is killing us. We'll see you on Sunday.
Fucking hell, I forgot we've got.
How weird was that game without fans, by the way? Horrible.
First time we played Liverpool in a year, isn't it?
I think the game was a bit flat on the back end.
Yeah. Ronan says, let's hope Villa take points off City on Wednesday. Yeah, that'd be Jackie massive. Grealish got that covered, don't worry. Enrique Cuppen says, if we have a real shot at doing this, we need to go on a winning run in the league until the City game. City have tough games over that period. Yeah, it's true. May Amateur says, I don't think it's fair to look at the data between the two players because Tellez has played arguably less games and maybe easier games other than PSG. His defensive output will be better, therefore.
Right. Is that similar? Do.
So they're saying, like, because you remember when Sergio Romero used to get compared to David De Gea?
Yeah,
a bit different.
Clean sheets-wise.
Yeah, clean sheets-wise, that's a decent argument. But the per 90 is what you do it on rather than per game, because that's obviously not a fair
But is
comparison.
It not easier to tackle the likes of Jared Bowen than it is
But when
Mo
you've
Salah.
Got more possession, you're not getting as much trade. So you're not getting as many interceptions.
Well, you've done me there, Steve. So congratulations. Any more super chats or can we move on? Because I've got a question for you, Adam.
Ask me.
At some point, is the fact
Alejandro says, guess who Marshall scored his first United goal verse? We know that one.
Liverpool.
Abdul
nearly passed out.
Says, Stretford versus Dons would be good. Yeah, I love SC Dons. But again, if they want to play, they have to play the YouTube team. Michael Collins says, Shaw's allegedly on
don't understand, like,
close to 200 grand a week.
Fuck Dons.
Nah, the Dons have got some ballers in there, bro, if you don't want to say that. We may have overpaid him a bit. You may be, but they're not bums. They've got some absolute...
Yeah, they play Sunday League and they didn't win their Sunday League.
They're not Sunday League players. They've got some absolute
ringers in there. They play Sunday League and they didn't win their Sunday League.
All right.
That's factual.
Moving on from that. Ask me the question.
At what point is the fact that our two strikers between them have got 9 goals this season going to stop us from winning the league? Like, we can... I'm not... And this isn't, like, anti-anything. It just is what it is at this point, isn't it? No one's denying here that... As Manchester United, Cavani and Martial should have got more goals than they have, and it's going to hinder us because it hindered us against PSG.
Cavani's played about 3 games.
If Cavani and Martial had scored their chances against PSG, we'd be through. If, you know, let's not go into every specific game, but the fact that both of them together have got less than 10 goals is going to stop us at some point.
Well, I think it has to change, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it will.
You think it will?
I know it will. They'll both score goals. I don't think it's a long-term issue. I think players all go through these problems. I think what we're seeing at the moment is, and Rashford's getting through it because he's getting goals and assists, which is great, but his performances as well haven't quite been up to scratch. I think you have to look at a lack of a pre-season affected the early parts of the season for Martial. Getting suspended affected his early parts of the season. Now he's in the team. I think his confidence in front of goal isn't there. Strikers go through those phases. I think that happens. As for Cavani, like he said, I don't think he's really contributed much because... He hasn't played much. And when he's running through on goal, Rashford... That's a joke.
He's running through on goal. Rashford fucking passed to him.
But I think Cavani will eventually score. I think both of them will find their feet and score goals again.
I'm fucking start him and see what happens.
Whether you want... I think the decision was right not to start him, though, because when he starts, I don't think he contributes enough.
Oh, mate, you've been playing a fucking midfielder at centre.
Oh, against Liverpool. Cool.
Are you worried
about
it?
But in general, I don't think... He brings enough to the team to start him.
I disagree. I think he's been very good, and I think he's going to look even better once he gets used to the fact. He's going through a bit of a Ruud van Nistelrooy Ronaldo moment where he's going...
Just hates everyone.
Yeah, he ain't going to pass it to me. He ain't going to pass it
Cavani
to me.
Cavani, you mean it?
Yeah. And he's going to have to maybe manufacture some of these goals himself a little bit. But I think once he starts to understand that... A right winger, and I would still go for, if we're not getting Sancho, and I think people have put far too much into this kid Adama, right? I really think you're going to see him 5 times at fucking best this year. He's about 5'3" for starters.
Yeah.
You might see him in Europa League. I don't think we see a sniff of him, apart from maybe off the bench.
Could he be on the bench for the Liverpool FA Cup match at the weekend?
I'd be shocked. Okay.
And I actually,
but are you worried about the strikers players? Though? That's my question.
No, because when you look at both those players against Villa, Martial scored, got a winner. Yeah. Cavani has scored some winners.
They've both showed
that they can do it. It's not a permanent thing.
But that's my question: is
they're both not, goal is it permanent, scorers?
But is it going to last long enough that we either drop off
no
our
one
position?
Can say,
well, no, I'm saying predict it. Are you worried about?
I think the performances are there, so it'll be all right.
You think the performances are there and the goals will come? Are you worried?
No, I'm worried.
Yeah, because we can't be going.
Look at last season, man. You got 60 goals ish out of your front three.
Yeah,
we're not going to get anywhere.
So another one. Greenwood hasn't.
Yeah, Greenwood again. Who's barely?
Although he contributed late into last season as well.
Yeah, but he was scoring because he was playing regular Europa League. He was in the League Cup. Mm. He was coming on very managed. Whereas this season it looks less managed. It looks a little bit more chaotic. And it's kind of thrown in, thrown out, and it's weird games. Like, what the fuck are you doing now?
Like? Yeah, it's definitely a different approach to Greenwood this season, isn't it? The whole off the field situation, which we don't really know about, has clearly played a huge part in that because it's been alluded to by enough people that
I think though when you get
as well as him as a player and his age, isn't
when
it?
You get a right winger though in the summer, or if like you said, Ahmad's that man, then once you're just rotating between Martial and Cavani. Mm.
But do you want to be rotating, or do we want
to? Well, you have to.
I know you have to.
You can't play everyone at once. You can't. It's like what we're saying.
The league will let you play 11.
But what I'm saying is,
we're playing Rashford every game. He's fucked.
Yeah, but certain positions, you want to know your main person in that position, don't you?
But you still need to be able to change.
See, the Scousers and allegedly like inhaler use. Come on, right? Allegedly inhaler use has changed that game. Fergie would not play the same team week in week out at all. And he would very much rotate in and out. And, you know, how the fuck do you think he kept 4 centre-forwards up here?
You need 2-3 strikers.
But that's when you played a 2-striker formation, which no one does anymore.
Right, but we also had multiple wingers. Mm.
But Ronaldo played every game.
But you now
Rooney
play a
played
front,
every game.
You now play a front three, which you never used to do before.
Yeah.
So you're not playing just 2-strike. You can still get a Cavani in and a Martial in. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just... But it'd be good if you had one of them always on the bench.
Aguero, Jesus style.
You need to have always one of them on the bench, in my opinion.
In recent times, though, mostly a team has a number 9 that plays every game they can. You look at all the successful teams in recent years across Europe, Lewandowski, Suarez, Aguero up until recent years, now he's getting on a bit, fair enough. But Firmino.
Oh, you mean world-class players? All right, cool, because we haven't really got many of them.
Well, whoever it is, that plays every single week, and we're sort of trying to give it between Cavani and Martial because
have someone who plays it. What people need to realise as well, we're looking at 2 months. So strikers go through times where they have bad 2 months. The thing for us was when Cole had a bad 2 months, fucking Sheringham and Solskjaer were knocking on the door. If Martial has a bad 2 months, Martial's having a bad 2 months. Greenwood's not in the team. Cavani's just getting back. And then he's getting suspended for social media. Like, we haven't had someone rotating coming in. So the pressure's still on. These players are out of form and there's extra pressure on them because there's nobody there to come in and take that pressure off them. You need to have a squad. And I don't think there's an issue with having 2 strikers. And if you've got a striker that's going to be like, well, I have to play every game, then there usually will be a Harry Kane or a Lewandowski who can justify it.
Marshall could not justify playing every game right now or be upset if he wasn't. And neither could Cavani. Because you're like, mate, you're fucking 106 years old. What are you talking about?
But then at the same time, I wouldn't have took Marshall off the other day, bro.
I think he's in great nick, actually.
Cavani. We've got some quotes from Ole talking about the game yesterday that we can have a look at in a little bit. He said about Marshall coming off. I think it does just come down to the fact that if someone's going to get you a goal, it's probably Rashford or Bruno.
Rashford was playing
Martial.
Very poor yesterday.
He was, but just this season, as Jay said, who's more likely to not score in a game?
But
is Martial.
You base it on the game that's there, the opposition are up against. He made the wrong sub, in my opinion, there. But at the same time, we created the opportunities when that sub happened. So was it the wrong sub? Was it the right sub? Ultimately, I want to stop thinking about what went wrong.
Mm.
Because we come out of that game at Anfield, 3 points clear at the top. But 3 points clear of them, not at the top, sorry. Mm. 3 points clear at them.
2 points clear at the top, aren't we?
So I'm going to stop complaining. Stop complaining? What the fuck we got to complain about? That's the annoying thing, though. Those 2 points against Leicester.
Well, again, away to a rival. A draw's not a terrible result, but it was dropped because we was winning.
Imagine that now. We'd be on 39 points. So even if City won their game,
you can't
do still
this because you can go through every single
match. Yeah, every team can
match.
Do that.
When you go through every
no,
match,
I know,
all the games we played, you go Arsenal, how the fuck did we lose
other
to them?
Other than Tottenham, we should have won all of them.
See,
but
Palace
again, you can do that every game.
Rocked up City without Zaha on that. How is that right?
Not arse, were they? They knew they were going to lose. They get bad against
that's
City.
That's a disgrace.
You've almost got to respect teams. It when they go, well, we're going to fucking win, are we?
Mm.
Fucking chill.
Remember when relegation
didn't even said
that.
Roy. Roy's like, I ain't going.
No.
Fuck that.
Like Liverpool did
on
last season.
Nah,
tell him I got Rona.
Tell him I got Rona, I'm well old. Roy Hodgson's so old, you know.
Roy Hodgson's so old. Go on.
He's old.
Oh, he's just old as shit.
Fuck.
Roy Hodgson's so old, he's probably...
His
you know,
first managerial
in his
job
years.
Right, was 6 years before I was born.
That's a long time ago.
1977, his first coaching job was.
That's mad, isn't it? That is actually mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so long ago.
Roy Hodgson's so old. Go on, I'd have finished.
43 fucking years working as a coach.
Roy Hodgson's so old. Here he spunks go. Dust.
It's like, yeah.
Is that a good one?
It's like tasting history.
That's a good one.
Roy Hodgson's so old. I bet he struggles with his mobility at times.
Fuck off, Joe.
What? That's that works.
Fucking terrible.
How is that?
Absolutely fucking terrible. How does
so
he relate
old.
To his players?
I bet he wears slippers because his circulation ain't
in,
what it used to be.
And he's sitting down next to a fucking 19-year-old lad. Just
Joe,
your
next joke
team.
Is literally going to be, he's so old, he's going to die soon, isn't it?
No.
Because
Roy Hodgson's so old, I bet he just drinks mugs full of hot water to keep his hands warm.
I worked with someone like that. I used to say, do you want a tea or coffee? I'll just have a hot water.
Was he old?
That's an old person.
Was she old?
No.
Oh,
she's older
shit.
Than me, but she's not
Roy Hodgson's so old, I bet he's got grandkids in that.
Roy Hodgson still looks for phone numbers in the Yellow Pages.
There you go.
What sort of conversations he have with lads on the coach? He definitely carries Werther's original.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Did you watch MASH? You're like, Roy, you got it on video 60 years ago.
Bet he rings him up going, how do I get Channel 4 on?
Not like this four channels. Should be three, and that's it.
It's a laptop.
Do you reckon he takes proper dad selfies from down here?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, I bet he's got that. His profile picture on Facebook is taken.
He's looking down his
down
glasses
like
this.
What the fuck is this? It's just that.
Yeah, he's got his glasses on the end of his nose.
Roy Hodgson's got a little tin of mints. Mints in a tin, for sure.
No, remember them powdery...
Hang on, where are pints in the tin?
Remember them powdery sweets?
Yeah, the little in the brass-looking tin.
The travel tin.
And it's just got like a little like a drawing of a
sketch
of some grapefruit on it.
Dust would go everywhere.
Roy Hodgson's got that.
Covered in dust. And then,
yeah.
Have a little pear or something.
He managed Inter Milan.
Yeah, that's
they were great sweets, by the way. Do they still sell them?
I never had one. I only ever found empty boxes of them in like at my nuns and that. Yeah,
got
they don't actually exist. These sweets.
The dust tastes nice and everything.
Cocaine.
Is that dust probably sugar? If we're honest,
I don't know. It's like a lot of Asian people at home will know this. This is probably something more for like uncensored. But Indians have this stuff called snuff, and like they sniff it. And I don't know what it does. Like tobacco?
It's sniffing tobacco.
Yeah.
My mate's dad used to have that.
But like my great-grandma
Victorian
used to have it.
Englishman used to have that.
My great-grandma, so she was like, she passed away and she was like 94. And like, I remember being a kid going in the room and seeing her go, and I remember thinking like, what have I just saw?
And he's on coke.
Great-grandma's on coke, oh shit.
But I've tried snuff before. My mate's
with a 50.
Dad used to have it. And I had some in my little crease. Really clears you out. It's a very menthol-y smell.
Fucking is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Roy Hodgson uses snuff.
Definitely.
That's how
Roy
old
Hodgson
he is.
Uses snuff. Yeah. Roy Hodgson uses a shoehorn to get his shoes on. One of them right long ones.
It's just shit.
And then he scratches his back with it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Sky Sports apparently have announced the highest audience in the history of a match for United versus Liverpool yesterday. 4.5 million viewers. Does that surprise you?
That's UK only, by the way.
What happened?
Yeah. Because the worldwide audience of United Liverpool was about fucking 900 million.
Yeah. Yesterday's game was the most watched ever match on Sky Sports. 4.5 million people.
What? More people watch EastEnders than that, don't they?
I don't think these days.
When you see Top of the Pops, Gavin and Stacey.
EastEnders not
Gavin
fucking,
and Stacey is fucking shit. Anybody that watches anything with that fat fuck James Corden in it can just fuck off. Get out.
EastEnders is on BBC. Anything that's on the BBC quadruples what a subscription channel like Sky does.
Yeah,
because the audience fucking base is
free.
Tiny.
Yeah. And I hate you, James Corden.
Okay. So.
Just letting you know. I hate you. Hmm. Genuine.
If you need any writers for the Late Late Show, give me a call.
Oh, yeah, of course. He'll probably treat you like a right cunt as well.
Probably.
I hate James Corden. Have I told you that?
You've just said it just three times in this podcast. Yeah.
So have I ever told you how much I hate Jim White?
Let's not get into all that. Let's not get into who we hate. Let's get into who we like. Because we've got some
Morgan.
Quotes from Ole.
I love Ole.
Let's get some quotes from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer before
we wrap
it up. Go on then.
Give us an Ole quote.
Is that fella that scored that goal?
Ole. Yeah, that's Ole. All he did.
Yeah.
Tap in. 3-yard tap in. That's all he's ever done. Mm. He's talking about the game yesterday. He said, we gave the ball away too often. Maybe some moments we missed. It showed throughout the game. The belief grew more and more. Next time we play them here, we need to impose ourselves on the game. We can do better. I know that. It's going to be hard to go to Anfield and dominate the game, dominate the ball, though, isn't it? Especially in...
It is, but there's nothing wrong with wanting that as a aim.
Yeah.
And this is why I think Ollie takes a lot of ownership of stuff, which is nice to see. He doesn't come out and complain at refs and stuff like that, and he takes all the responsibility. Now, shithouses will say everything that goes wrong is his fault because he said it. Mm. It's the same
or
sort of
he's
fucking...
weak because he doesn't come out and be the aggressor
and blame everyone else for stuff. It's such a self-belief thing to take the ownership of everything that you're saying. And it's the opposite of some of the fucking shit that we've seen with other managers to come out and blah. And it also... I saw someone having an argument the other day by saying, oh, Roy Keane wasn't a technical footballer. He said so himself. It's got being humble, you fucking arsehole.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw a video the other day of Keane and Sheringham playing for Forest. I didn't realise they played together there.
And also...
Someone put Roy Hodgson is 127 days older than the Santiago Bernabeu.
Wow.
And that's just had a facelift.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a Gavin and Stacey's quality. Watch your beef with James Corden. Fat, loud people funny, and he seems to think it's great. Also, how the fuck is he representing us in America?
No
why?
Offense, Steve,
why?
By the way.
Why?
Oh, take him.
And stop getting in his car and singing with him and making him more famous, man.
We've got another quote from Ole. Slightly less hateful.
Where's this come from?
He said Bruno's obviously been running his socks off for us every single game since he's come. He's been here and been running more or less every game. Do you think that's a hint that he might get a rest, Bruno, either against Fulham or against Liverpool?
Ollie's well tricky with his little hints and stuff like that, because I've seen him be like, oh, no, he's injured, and then he starts. And you go, oh, okay.
Yeah, he's proper thinks he's Fergie sometimes, isn't he?
He's read the book, but not quite got the
What
the
do you mean not
yet.
Quite got it? Top his of face, the league, Steve.
He says the stuff, but his face just tells you the truth.
these boys, they're injured, you know.
Do you think Ole's like a deep fake Fergie, where it's like just a different face, but with the same words?
I hope Fergie's got his hand up his arse and glove puppeting him.
Mm. Me too.
Oh, I don't hope his. I hope Fergie hasn't got his hand up his arse.
Yeah.
It's just a visual that you might need it. Let's have a look at this then.
The way Cam says the word comment is amazing, isn't it?
I don't care about comments from random people. Comment. When you're a part of Manchester United, you're always being the spotlight. We're the club with the most interaction and the club the people discuss the most. I'm not exactly sure who that is aimed at.
Sam
is it
and
aimed
Jordan.
At other managers? Is it aimed at the press? Is it aimed at, you know, social media?
Have you heard of the phrase, two birds, one stone?
I thought you were going to say two birds in the bush, one in the
two
bush
birds,
again.
One.
So this is two birds, one stone, but... Six birds, one comment.
Mm.
Klopp have a taste. Fucking Simon Jordan fucking get some of that. Richard Keys, stick that up your fucking hoop. Richard Keys does my fucking head.
I know the fucking
Klopp have
when
a taste.
He's smashing his... When his missus was ill, when he...
Okay, let's when not
did
he
say
it,
wasn't
slander.
He?
Didn't you see...
It's not slander if it's true.
It's still slander.
I didn't say it.
What? Yes, Your Honour.
Have you seen the clip
slander,
of him?
It's true.
Have you seen the clip of him talking to Jose Mourinho? And he's like, about modern football. Yeah, yeah, and he's like, you know, possession, scoring goals. And Mourinho's like...
No, yeah, he goes, what is...
And he just...
Don't you think you should be playing expansive football? True. And Mourinho goes, What is expansion football?
No, he's talking about modern football. That's, he's like, you know, modern football. And he's like, what's modern football? He's like, you know, possession, scoring goals. And he's like,
So angry.
I remember football before we decided to score goals. It was it was very nil-nilly.
I know. We got another quote as well from Ollie. It's not liable if it's true. I didn't say it. We didn't deserve 3 points because we didn't play well enough. He was asked, do you think you deserve the 3 points? I think basically there he was avoiding the backlash of going, yeah, we deserve to win that. And then everyone going, well, if we deserve to win it, we'd have won it. Because really, I think we did deserve to win, to be honest.
See, this is what I'm talking about with the ownership that he takes of stuff. Mm. And then people use it against him. Mm. I think it's admirable.
Yeah, me too.
Oliver Smith says, Bruno Maguire and Shaw 1 yellow from suspension. Shook.
Got to use it wisely.
Get him suspended for the cup game.
Is that how it works? Or is it not just league suspension?
Domestic, isn't it?
Domestic.
And Michael Gracker Jr. or Gracia Jr. with the super chat just says... Energy.
Liam Clark, Partridge Voice. Idea for a paddock show. The lads make lists of people they hate and call them out.
Yeah, probably shouldn't do that. That's most paddock shows anyway when these two are on it. We've got one more quote before we go. And this is again from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He says, there's been loads of hard work and loads of patience to get to the position we're in now. But it's like if you climb Kilimanjaro or Mount Everest and you get to the top and then you sit down and relax, what happens then? You'll freeze to death.
News
so
under.
As everyone knows about climbing, you have to get to the top and then just run around in circles to stay warm.
He loves burpees the mountains and stuff, shit. Doesn't he?
Yeah. He loves mountains. From fucking Norway. There's only mountains.
All right, stop shouting at me.
No.
I got something to tell you.
Go on then.
Yellow cards get wiped after 19 games. Fulham's the 19th game.
Mm.
So does that mean if they get booked in that game, it doesn't count?
No. If they get booked in that game, I think they'll still get suspended.
So it's wiped after that game.
Fucking Richard Keys, man, honestly.
Yeah, why did he do it to his missus, eh?
Don't talk about that. We're going to go on that note.
How big was their desk?
No, where are we going?
How mental was that?
The big, right, Joe, when you first, because I saw it on your laptop from about 15 feet away, and I was like, Jesus. And then I realised that the fella in the middle was a fella and not a vase. I thought it was a vase in the middle of the table, and it was at either end of the table, and I was like, what? Oh, that's a guy! That's a guy! That's a guy! What the fuck? It's the biggest desk I've ever seen. That's a Middle Eastern fucking sports channel just showing off, innit? Like, we got all the money.
Why did you say social distance?
Look at the size of this fucking desk, lads.
If you want to see that desk, go on my Twitter, at JoeSmith93.
Have you ever seen a Hummer next to a Mini?
What I'll do, actually...
That's the size of that fucking desk.
Since you mentioned it, I'll retweet it on Stretford Paddock so you can see it, but it's the biggest
desk
I've ever
seen. You're giving yourself retweets again, Joe. I've told you to stop this stuff.
That's going to be all from us today. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Steve. Thank you to everyone at home for joining us. Man United is still top of the league, lads. Let's enjoy it.
And that's a fact. Top of the league. And that's a fact. 21's coming. And that's a fact. 21 coming.
Where's he gone?
Wayne Rooney. What's that?
Wayne Rooney.
What's that?
Good. All right. See you later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.